but and the reason I'm going to tell you to downgrade this a little bit is that I don't want you to handicap a race and wind up with your best horse being in a three post with everything else going for it and not playing the horse because I said it's not the best post. If it's clearly the best horse, it might overcome the three. So far, the best horse is not overcoming the one, no. Okay, and that's just an easy piece of data to accumulate. In the same way with the outside posts. Just pay attention to it, and if they're performing well, race by race, for a while anyway, just give it a check if it performs well and an O if it doesn't. And just look and see how these things come out. That's a superficial way of doing it, but I don't want you to overemphasize that, so I'm going to kind of back off on it a little bit. Hollywood Park, it's very important. Santa Anita, it's really not. Your post position's not a major problem. Obviously, in two-turn races at a mile, the horses in the 9 and 10 posts are at a disadvantage. But I don't have to tell you that. Just look at them, right? When they hit the turn, they're out here like that. I mean, that's not a disadvantage associated with a racetrack. It's a disadvantage associated with the mile in a two-turn race. That's all. So I mean, that's something you just carry along with you. But there is a serious disadvantage to the inside horses at Hollywood Park. And I would recommend on this profile or on a separate sheet, just doing a stroke tally of how well the inside post are performing in terms of being in the money, especially when they're contenders, versus how they're doing on the outside. Yes? No, that's why I say pay attention to the contenders. Okay, but I just kind of blanket it. I just put down 1, 2, 3, period. I look, and if there's a horse that I kind of like that's running down on the inside, I'll pay a special attention to that and I might make some notes. But I just blanket 1, 2, 3, how they're performing. Because the luck of the draw is such that good horses will draw 1, 2, 3 as often as they will 8, 9, 10. So you don't have to spend a lot of time with just how the contenders perform down there, because enough of them are contenders to take care of that. Unless you're, and if you go beyond that, then you might get a little overly zealous in post position studies. But pay attention to Hollywood Park. It's very important. The one turn mile and 6 and 6.5 and 7. One turn races. It's very important not to be stuck on the rail. And that probably will exist throughout the season, because the previous two Santa Anita meetings, it existed. Hollywood Park meetings, it existed. And at the fall meeting, it went away. I have no idea what they did. But it's back. And so anybody not paying attention to that is taking the worst of it. Now that you have that piece of data, right? And you have a horse that runs reasonably well on the inside. Yesterday's race that Watch and Win ran is a good example of that. The horse was down on the inside, there was other pace, so the horse was never able to get off the rail. What happens next time that one of these horses runs and draws outside? That is a very valuable angle at Hollywood Park. Horse that performs on the inside and performs reasonably well. It's an excuse, period. If the horse doesn't perform well, draw a line through the race. But if the horse responds and runs fairly well down on the inside, or very well down on the inside, upgrade that horse seriously in its next race. Serious upgrade. And at the beginning of Del Mar, one of the things you're going to get an opportunity to do is bet horses that were stuck down on the inside at Hollywood Park, transfer surface, come to Del Mar, and I got to tell you, that's a very, sure enough, somebody's going to come after me with a gun, but I play them almost blindly at Del Mar. When a horse runs reasonably well at Hollywood Park and now draws the outside of Del Mar, I'll make some kind of play on that horse and just do it arbitrarily, because that's how you get a $40 and $50 winner as opposed to all 10s and 9s and 8s. Yes?
Well, the fact that the horse was left out on the inside in the previous race affected baseline selection later on.
Absolutely. That's why I say draw a line through the race. Excuse it. And we're going to talk about how to get to baseline selection in the second half of this course today. We're going to talk about creating, and I like Michael Pizzola's terminology here on creating a window. Because the most important race, what is the most important race on the horse? What is it? Last race. Now, it's not the pace line, necessarily. It isn't. But it's the most important race on the horse, whether you use it or not. Now, why is it the most important race? That is the best indication of what condition, what status of that horse's form is today. Now, whether you use the race or not is unimportant. Now, if you can excuse it, you just continue to go back until you find the races that are rateable and then choose from that. But it is the most important race in the horse's line, because that gives you the only look you've got at the horse's current condition, the only one. So it's very important. All right, enough about post positions, but you should pay some attention to it, and because that is, it's not terribly important at Santa Anita, and often it is not important at all at Del Mar. It can be very important at Del Mar, but at Hollywood Park, it is dramatically important. Let's go to the contenders now for a minute. Obviously, the first question you have to answer, and you can answer this pretty well right off the top. What we're going to do is we're going to work through some questions that we'll ask. Some of the questions we'll ask may create 9 contenders in a 12-horse field. That is not the end result of the contender selection process. Of those 9, you might winnow that down to 4 or 5 or 3. But we're going to look at the race to start with. Just look at its entity, pay attention to the conditions of the race, and then look at the horses that are entered in that race and decide, just in a superficial manner, is the horse that you're looking at capable of winning a race like it's in today? Go to Friday's form for just a moment. Look at the 8th race at Hollywood yesterday. You have the 8th race, or at least the person next to you have it? All right, take a look at it for just a minute. This is a non-winners of $3,000 twice other than maiden claiming or starters. This is a non-winners of 2 races life, in other words, non-winners of 2 races other than maiden claiming starter. Now, you see this several ways. You see non-winners of 2 other than. You see non-winners, in this case, it would be like non-winners of 3 races lifetime, which would include the maiden race. You don't see that very often. In a non-winners of 1, for example, you might see non-winners of 1 other than maiden claiming or starter, or you might see non-winners of 2 races lifetime. The more restrictions that are on these races, the easier they become. And so if you find a race that is carded for, not this one, but if you find a race that's carded for non-winners of 2 lifetime, that's easier to win than a race carded for non-winners of 1 other than maiden claiming lifetime. Because in a maiden claiming race, a horse might have won 4 or 5 claiming races and moves into an allowance race and will be a multiple winner. So that other race is easier. Now in this race, though, it just says non-winners of $3,000, which means the winner's share of a purse. So a horse that runs and wins a $5,000 purse or a $4,000 purse at a minor racetrack can have multiple wins and still be eligible for this because its winner's share has never been at this amount. Okay, so this is a horse non-winners of 2 races other than. And what you're looking for then is a horse that has won a non-winners of 1, that has performed very well against non-winners of 2, maybe. Okay, that's the kind of horses you're looking for. Claiming horses are a little disadvantage in here. Mr. McHugh, the first horse, all we're going to do here is look at the horses that can't win this race. Now, most of them can. Now, Mr. McHugh, can he win this race? Sure. If you look down at him, he wins the Phoenix Futurity, and by virtue of having won a non-maiden race, he's already won 1 race other than maiden or claiming, so they wasted one of his conditions. Normally, you'll win a maiden race, win an allowance race, then have another allowance race, right? Well, this horse jumped a step and won immediately in a non-winner's race, or in a winner's race. You follow that all right? Okay, so now he can only run here. He can't run in a non-winner's of 1 other than maiden or claiming. So he's already won a minor stakes at Turf Paradise, and he gets beat ahead in June of 89 in what has to be a non-winner's of 2, what almost has to be a non-winner's of 2. So he can win here, right? Okay. What about Soft Shoe Sure Shot? Can he win a non-winner's of 2 just based on what you're looking at? Don't spend a lot of time with this now, because we're going to winnow this way down. Yeah, he can, right? He wins a non-winner's of 1. If you look at it, his speed rating's got to be all right. It's a 94 the day he wins, and the 89 before that. So, I mean, he's a fast horse. He won a non-winner's of 1. He has to run now in a non-winner's of 2. So that's the kind of horse that can win this race. Now, what about Yes, I'm Blue? Hell yes. Okay, what about Frontline Fable? Maybe. Maybe. Okay, now this one's a little more shaded because the $40,000 level at our tracks, and this is the reason I gave you the part-time charts. Look at the equivalent here. Look at the non-winners of runs in a sprint, which has got a par value of 105. That equates to the Quirin pace and speed numbers up and down his part-time chart. All right, look at that number. It's 105. What's the equivalent in terms of claiming? 32. Now look at the non-winners of 2. That's a 107, right? That's today's race is a 107. Now, yes, Frontline Fable wins by a head in a non-winners of 1, right? Okay, then he goes into a claiming race, which is still lower than this. Now, I wouldn't throw him out, but claiming races are kind of claiming horses are kind of at a disadvantage here with non-winners of 2 if there are any runners in the race. Now, this is a maybe. but it's not enough to throw him out. It's the only point I want to make here. What about Crystal Cutter? No. Take a long look at this horse. If you're keeping this kind of horse in your contenders and you're doing anything beyond the first stage, you should not be. Look at him. Where's his level? Well, forget, wait, hold it. I heard the 34,000. Wipe that out of your mind. The 34,000 purse just means that Santa Anita makes a lot more money than Hollywood Park and Del Mar. Horses that were running in for $40,000 purses at Santa Anita, what are they running for at Hollywood Park? They're like 25. Okay, so keep that out of the mind. The fact is that it won a non-winners of one at a mile and a quarter on a turf course. Look at the rest of the horse's races. This is a sprinter. This is a sprint race. Look at its bottom two sprint races. At lower level, no threat, right? Look what it dropped down to at 25, no threat, the day it was claimed. Okay, in its next start, in a $25,000 claiming race, they beat it off again. What do you think? Is this a contender in here? He's outclassed, isn't he? Okay, and then we'll talk a moment about the intention of him being in here. Yes.
Absolutely, that's
the intention here. This is a prep race for this horse. The point is, as you look at it, you look at him and say, can he win a sprint against non-winners of two at Hollywood Park? Maybe he can at Golden Gate, but not at Hollywood Park. Just look at that. That horse should be thrown out. He has no speed. Not in a sprint, I should say. What about Danaway Prospector? Okay, just off of it. He wins a non-winners of one by three lengths, two races back. What do you think? Can he win a non-winners of two? Sure. They're going to try him now. Odad Fox. Okay, he's like Frontline Fable, isn't he? Isn't he like Frontline Fable? Okay, he's marginal, really marginal. Now, you have another piece of data in here that you can apply right now. Is his running style appropriate for Hollywood Park? No. Okay, that's another piece of data. But he's marginal. Now, what about Jacqueline Lomelette? Can he win a non-winners of two? This is an important consideration here. Can he or can he? Forget current form. Forget his last one or two races here. Can he win a non-winners of two? Okay, the answer to that is no. And do you know why, though? That's a key consideration here. One thing you want to weigh is, when you're looking at these allowance races, you only bat your head against the wall so many times and you finally feel better and stop, right? Well, this trainer so far hasn't got the message. Look at his races in here. These are all non-winners of twos, I think, unless he tried him in the stakes, which would really be brilliant. Look at his last 10 races. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. These are all against non-winners of two. Can he win a non-winners of two with any runner at all in a race? And the answer to that is no. And if there's no runner in the race, pass. Okay. So now how many horses do we get rid of just on looking at it? Because you don't get rid of many. Most of these horses fit the conditions. So we got rid of two horses, right? We get rid of Crystal Cutter, and we get rid of Jacqueline Lomelette. Current form notwithstanding, we make marginal which two horses? Odad Fox and Frontline Fable, they're marginal on class considerations. Who else do you have now? You have Mr. McHugh, Soft Shoe Sure Shot, Yes I'm Blue, Danaway Prospector, right? That's the main contention in here with two sideline types that if they happen to rate very well, you have to give them an upgrade. Not so much Odad Fox because of his running style. Okay, that's the basic question. That's what you're trying to answer in these races. That's the first thing you should do is kind of compare the conditions of the race to the horses you're looking at. And in a non-winners of two, if they bat their head against a non-winners of one, the same thing. If they bat their head against the wall a long time, give up on it. Maiden race is the same thing. Once a horse has lost a lot of maiden races, you know, once they've lost 7, 8, 9, 10 times in these maiden races, either look for them to drop out of a maiden 50, out of a maiden to a maiden 50, or from a maiden 50 to a maiden 32. Look for something to change the nature of their condition. And in this case, Jacqueline Lomelette has just had way too many chances. Look at it that way. Probabilities again. Probabilities are 0 to 10 that he'll lose it now when it's a 2, right? You want to bet the 0 or the 10. That's what it really comes down to. Okay. Now, a couple of books that I would suggest you read if you haven't read them already. Most of you probably already have. One of them is Quirin's Thoroughbred Handicapping State of the Art, in which he talks about contenders, the up-close concept, both in both of his books, as a matter of fact, and William Scott's How Will Your Horse Run Today? Because there's a very good discussion on current form, current condition in that book. And when he talks about up close as a guideline for contender selection, that's what we're going to talk about in here. Now, don't take the book. When that book was first published, we had a lot of people take the book and religiously outline everything he said and applied it to their pace analysis, right? Their methodology. And unfortunately, one of the things he says is that horses that are up close at the stretch call that lose more than a length are serious negatives. Well, that might be true at fairgrounds, but that's not true in Southern California. Horses with a lot of speed are up close at the second call. And if they're beaten, they're going to fall back from the at the stretch call. They're beaten, they're going to fall back from the stretch call to the finish. And so a lot of the horses that I play, that you'll play, are horses that have lost that length. So don't take it and apply all of it religiously, but pay attention to the contender selection part of it. Now, that's what we're going to talk about right now. First of all, let's talk about class droppers. This is a loaded question. Is a horse dropping in class a positive or a negative sign? Well, you guys have been with me for a while now. You know that I load these things, and that way no one makes a commitment. You're right. It depends. Horses, there's one thing you can't refute at the racetrack. Horses that are dropping in class win more than half the races. More. And it's in the neighborhood of 57 to 60% of the races are won by horses dropping in class. Now, a much lesser number are won by horses rising in class. And just as a side note in here, I'll tell you, one of the things that we're going to do in subsequent sessions is we're going to start distinguishing between younger horses and older horses. And what I'm going to give you now is just a side note in here. But as you look at these races, horses raising in class off of a losing race, okay, that's the category, raising in class off of a losing race. With older horses, it usually precedes a losing effort. Not always, but it's usually a negative with an older horse that stepped up after losing. With a three-year-old or younger, when they step them up after losing, it's often a positive sign. And the reason for that is that the three-year-olds are so unclassified, and the claiming prices are almost meaningless. You just bounce them up and down. They're inflated to start with. And a three-year-old starts to get good, the first thing to do is protect it. With an older horse, they usually have, if they're beaten at a lower level, when they step them up to a higher level, they're usually beaten again. But sometimes a trainer likes the horse well enough to do that, if you happen to know that the trainer does that kind of thing. But most often, a horse that's stepping in class, an older horse stepping up in class after a losing race, is most often a losing horse, at a major racetrack especially. Okay. Now, that's just an aside. Just kind of keep that tucked away, and we'll use that later. Now, back to the class droppers. I want you to look at Friday's form again. I want you to look at the first race Friday, because that was a wild thing. The operation here is, first of all, the monetary rewards or values that are involved, whether or not you're going to lose on this play or not as the owner, not as the handicapper. The judgment as to whether or not the horse needs the drop, because horses that need the drop should be dropped. And we're going to talk about how to distinguish that. Horses that don't need the drop shouldn't be dropped. Let's take a look at Red Laguna Native. This is the reason the closer won this race, things like this. Look at Laguna Native and just answer the question to yourself. Is this a positive drop on this horse or is this a negative drop? Look at it and let it burn it somewhere right up in here. Look at that horse. That is a negative drop. That's in the extreme. That's a negative drop. This horse is claimed for six. Now, incidentally, this trainer just claims with a shopping basket. If you drop it, he claims it. He gets a lot of winners, but he's got a lot of volume going for him, too. At the first of the Saturday Inter meeting, he was really doing well. But since then, I mean, if I dropped Schmidt in class, he'd claim it. I mean, he's claimed everything. Now, let's look at Laguna Native. Let's reason through, and I would suggest to you that you try to play the part of the trainer on a lot of these things. Now, look at him. Look at the back class on this horse, first of all. He's got a lot, doesn't he? Especially when you start considering a $10,000 race. Let me tell you something else. In a $10,000 race, when you first go through it and look at it and say, can this horse win the $10,000 race? The answer is yes to everybody in the field. Then you have to winnow it down because everybody can win a $10,000 race. There's nothing lower. So some of the horses in there might be well worth four. So you can't get rid of the $10,000 races on that same basis. Laguna Native now. After a long layoff from June to January, there's a song by that name. Look at the race that he ran at 40,000. He was around for a quarter mile, and against a relatively slow, well, a 23 flat, for that level, is relatively slow turn time. And that horse kind of spit it out and didn't stick around, right? So the trainer obviously didn't bring back a very, very good racehorse. So we dropped him to 25, presumably to get rid of him. Now, guess what? He got rid of it. Now, he ran an improved race, and he was actually in the race at the eighth pole and fell back, and at 25, he was claimed out of that race. Now, reason through this one for a moment. You just paid $25,000 for a horse. I mean, $25,000 to me is a lot of money, and I just paid $25,000 for a horse, right? What do you want to do with that horse next time? Pardon? You want to raise, well, you have to raise him up. Within 30 days, he's got to be running at 25% higher. They have to do that. But what do you want to do with it? Don't you want to run him tomorrow? Yeah, you want to run him as fast as you can to start getting your money back, right? I mean, you don't claim the horse to go out and pet him and feed him carrots. You want to run him back just as soon as you can. Now, what do they do with this horse? They keep him long enough so that he doesn't even have to step up, and they drop him from 25 to 16 off of a month and a week. He drops him, right? $9,000. Is $9,000 chump change or not? It's not. That's important money, right? Especially when you haven't even tried him where they had him before. Because he ran well at 25, right? That's a good race at 25. Any horse with back class that runs that well at 25 can still win at 25. Because at the eighth pole, he's second, a length and a half back. So what do? They drop him to 16. Now, at 16, at 4-1, he was poison. He should have been thrown out now. That's a non-contender for you. Period. Now, what did he do at 16? He ran like you might think he ran would have run, right? So Mr. Shulman, he claims more horses like this. So his infinite was, everybody in this room now should look at this and say, God, if I had 16,000, I wouldn't buy this horse. Would you? I mean, just on what we've said so far. No, you wouldn't. So he claims him for 16. What does he have to do with it? Doesn't it make sense that he would have to do it too if the other guy, I don't even know who the other trainer was in the middle, but it's not important. What did he have to do? He had to lay him up too. He drops him to 10 yesterday. Is that a reasonable play yesterday? Never. Never. It's a sick horse. It's obviously a sick horse. And even at 10, he can't drop any further than that. If they could card $2,500 claimers here, he might be there. He was not a contender in this race. And anytime you look at it, people at the racetrack are amazing to me. This horse, I don't know what what was his price yesterday? Where did he finish? All right. You want to take 7-2 on this horse? Because if you throw that out, how much of the probability has gone with it? When you throw out 7-2 odds, that just pumps up the probability on everybody else, the betting probability now, the money. That's not a play. Okay, so he's a non-contender, right? That's a negative class drop in the extreme. That's the reason I chose this one first, because it's so obvious, and yet he's been 4-1 and 7-2 on that same pattern both times. Look at... There's another horse that I wanted you to look at in there. Look at Wheeler Canyon, who was scratched in here. It doesn't matter. But look at Wheeler Canyon, which is on page 9 now. Canyon's making a drop from 12.5 to 10. Is this a positive or a negative on Wheeler Canyon? It's a positive, right? Look at all of his races. Look at him. Just look at his races right now. Where does he belong? Where do you think? 10, 12, 5, right? So the fact that he drops to 10 is a positive. Now, this is a kind. Now, he didn't get a chance to run yesterday. Probably might not have won anyway. But this is a kind that wins most of these races. The drop from 12, 5 to 10 is important here because it drops from a level that you don't have to run at to a level that there is nothing below it, right? It's the bottom. So when you drop from 12, 5 to 10, it's important. Because a lot of those horses might belong at 5. That's a positive drop on Wheeler Canyon. Look at Preemptory Action. The horse above him. I'm sorry, below him if you're reading down the page. The horse with the next post position. What is that horse? Positive or negative drop? Remember, we're making some contenders here and we're throwing some horses out. Is this and only based on the drop here. What? What do you mean it's not a drop? Well, it's a non-claiming race, and you should consider that a drop. Now, I'm not telling you to judge his overall class. And one thing, people get confused in another respect. You look at a horse and you see him, he's a $10,000 horse, basically, right? Now he's running at 16 for a little while and makes a drop from 16 to 10. And people will say, that would be a positive drop, but people will look at that and say, well, he's not dropping. Because he wasn't a 16 anyway. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is, who was he competing against? He was competing against 16s. The drop is real. In other words, don't look at the horse and say, well, the horse isn't that class anyway, so he's not dropping. That's wrong. He is dropping. Anytime you run anytime you drop from a more competitive level to another one, even if you didn't belong at the level, it is a class drop. All right, is that clear? Now, look at Preemptory Action. Is this a positive or a negative? It's a positive. It's a positive. Where does he belong? If he was running at 12.5 at Turf Paradise, where does he belong here? The bottom, right? It's a positive drop. He's a bad horse. But the point is the class drop negative or is it positive? This one's positive. Look at Hans Secret. He's dropping from 20 to 10. Now, this is the winner of the race, so this is kind of a giveaway by telling you that up front. But is this a positive or a negative drop? Yeah. That's all right. Now, this is one you have to judge after the drop. The drop itself is positive. Do you know why it's positive? Sometimes going into easier class is still a negative drop. The reason this is a positive drop is that look at his last two races. Now, those are both fast races, but was he any factor in either one? Well, doesn't he need a drop then? See, that's a key consideration. Now, you might look at him and say, Jesus, he's been dropped, what, 1, 2, 3 times now? That's a different issue. And we'll deal with that in the class section, which will be the second session. But look at this drop right now. Is this a positive or a negative? He needs easier company, doesn't he? Now, this drop might be a little extreme. Okay, but the point is, dropping from those races at 20 is a positive. Because he can't compete. And that's the main issue. That's the point I want you all to keep clear in your mind. If the horse is able to compete successfully, it should not be dropped. If the horse is unable to compete successfully, it should be dropped. That's the key issue here. Now, it's a little more involved in a little later on when you look at it and say, well, he dropped from 30 allowance to 32, ran all right, dropped to 25, didn't run, dropped to 20. Where is he finally going to drop to? Well, what they did is they shortcut two other stations and went right to 10. Instead of dropping him to 16, to 12.5, and then to 10, they dropped him right to 10. But that's a different issue. Point is, he needs a drop of some kind. Look at Color Guard. Is this a positive or a negative drop? Let's talk about that one. Was he competitive in his last race? Okay. More than that. Look at the eighth pole, and this is a key guideline. This is the reason I've chosen this horse. Look at his position at the eighth pole in the race. How far is that from home? 600 feet, right? 660. He's almost home, right? And he's still running third, 2.5 behind. Now, does a horse like that need a drop to 10?